A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Lord, you.
Jesus addressed this parable to those who were convinced of their own righteousness and despised everyone else. Two people went up to the temple area to pray. One was a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee took up his position and spoke this prayer to himself. O God, I thank you that I am not like the rest of humanity, greedy, dishonest, adulterous, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, and I pay tithes on my whole income. But the tax collector stood off at a distance, would not even raise his eye to heaven, but beat his breast and prayed, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, the latter went home justified, not the former. For whoever exalts himself shall be humbled, and the one who humbles himself shall be exalted. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
My roommate from the seminary was ordained for the Diocese of the American Virgin Islands, and from the time of his ordination in 1970 until he retired 2 years ago, Mike was pastor of a parish on the island of St. Croix. The church on that parish was built out of coral stone and had been built in 1778. It originally was the chapel on a sugar plantation. And when you came up the hill, the church was on the right, and on the left were the ruins of an old windmill which was used to make sugar cane. And then on the back side of the property was a long, low building, again built out of coral stone, with little openings in the wall, and the doors were only about that high. They were the slave quarters. And the doors were so low, so that when the slaves came out in the morning, they would not strike against the master. Slavery was not abolished in those islands until much, much later than when it was here. America didn't purchase those islands until prior to World War I to protect the entrance to the Panama Canal. There was an elderly gentleman in the parish who was a Eucharistic minister, Mr. Christian. I don't think I even ever knew his first name. He was 98 years old, and he walked to church every Sunday, impeccably dressed in a starch white shirt, a tie, a suit, and a hat. And he was a fascinating storyteller. Mr. Christian had been born on the plantation and was a slave until he was 20 years old. And I would get him telling stories about what life was like on the plantation. And I love somebody who can tell a story, and he could tell a story. One day I said to him, Mr. Christian, of all the experiences in your life, what was the most difficult? And I will never forget his answer. He looked at me and he said, Father, freedom. Freedom, Father. And I said, what do you mean? And he explained that when they were set free, each slave was given a little piece of cloth tied together, and it had a few coins in it. And he said, we all left the plantation and went into the village to Christiansted. And he said, we all got drunk. And then we woke up the next morning, and we realized we didn't know how to take care of ourselves. We didn't know how to feed ourselves, to clothe ourselves, to find shelter. They had taken all of that away from us. And so he said, what did we do? We came back to the plantation and we begged the master to take us back. Freedom. Freedom is indeed a difficult challenge. And we're living through one of those challenging moments right now. Politics is the art of compromise. One group of people see a vision of America and a way that we can get there, and then they identify an individual who they want to run for the highest office in this land who espouses that vision. And then another group of people have a different vision, and they might be diametrically opposed, and they find an individual whom they nominate. And then the people vote. And in the greatness of politics, the winner should sit down with the losers and compromise for the good of the people. And that is not what is happening in the current campaign. Instead of addressing issues, there is character assassination, backstabbing, name-calling, every type, theories of conspiracies, etc., that threatens to make us less than who we are. We're Americans, and we don't hate one another. We may differ strongly from one another, and that's what makes democracy great. But we don't hate, we care about one another. And something's wrong. And because you and I are who we are and believe what we believe, whenever we face such a challenge, we always first resort to prayer. And as I pondered what might be a reflective prayer, I was drawn to Abraham Lincoln. In 1863, he came to Gettysburg to dedicate a cemetery. On the very land where the fiercest and most violent fighting of the Civil War had taken place. The designated speaker for the day spoke for 2 hours and 20 minutes. No one remembers his name nor a word he said. Abraham Lincoln spoke for a matter of moments, and his words are part of our national heritage, and I would suggest could become a basis of reflective prayer for us today. For he said 67 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. Now we are engaged in a great civil war, testing whether that nation or any nation so conceived and dedicated can long survive. We are met on a great battlefield of that war. We have come to dedicate a portion of that field as a final resting place for those who here gave their lives that this nation might be free. The world will little note nor long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here. It is for us, the living, rather, to be dedicated here to the unfinished work which they who fought here have thus far so nobly advanced. It is rather for us to here dedicate the great task remaining before us, that from these honored dead we take increased devotion, that we here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain, that this nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom, and that government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth. Amen.